Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Looking at a message today, the final grade or score. The final grade or score. Matthew 21. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Excuse me, Matthew 21 and verse 28. Matthew 21, 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, What? I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, What? I go, sir. And what? Went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, Who?
The first.
Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So the first son there in verse 28, one son disobeyed in word. He says, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. So the father gives the instruction, the command, and he refuses. But afterward, as it says in verse 29, but afterward he repented and went. And so then the father comes to the second son, and we assume it's right after talking to the first one. It doesn't tell us any different. And so he tells him then to go, verse 30. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And his response, I go, sir. But he wouldn't go. Now, I don't know, maybe the second son heard some arguing. You know, when the first son tells his, you know, his dad says, go work in the vineyard today, and he says, no, I will not. So maybe there was some other words there that the Bible doesn't record. Maybe there was some arguing, maybe some sharpness, maybe some contention going on there. Whatever the case, the second son didn't go that route. He didn't want to refuse his dad. And so he said he would go. I go, sir. But he didn't. He didn't do it. Now, either he answered his dad knowingly and had intentions all along that he wasn't going to do it, or he said he would do it and then got to thinking about it, you know, this isn't fair. You know, my brother got away with telling dad, no, I'm not going to go. And so why should I go work in the vineyard? No one's making my brother go. I don't know what was going through his mind. The Bible doesn't tell us. So either he just spoke a premeditated lie. Either he just said, I'm going, knowing full well all along he wasn't, or else he changed his mind once he said yes. So one son started out wrong, saying that he would obey his father, but then he repented and decided to obey. The second son started out right, saying that he would obey his father, but then he actually did not obey. So Jesus asked the question in verse 31 there, whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. And that was the right answer. The first one sinned with his mouth by telling his dad he wouldn't do it. Verse 29 there, he answered and said, I will not. I don't know how he said it, whether he said it, you know, really ornery or not, or whether he just stated it as a matter of fact. I don't know how he said it, but that's what he said. So, so he gives the wrong answer, but then repents and does the right thing. The other son gives the right answer, but does the wrong thing. He doesn't go. So Jesus tells them why he gave them that illustration in verse 31. Whether them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. The publicans and the harlots were known sinners. The publicans were known sinners because of their greed. They were the tax collectors, and so they were known to be cheaters. They were known to charge people more so they could just pocket the money. It's kind of like in many countries, you'll have government workers, whether it's police officers or whoever in government, just trying to get paperwork through government. Many times in foreign countries, they expect some money under the table, or they're not going to, you know, move your paperwork forward. They expect some money, or they're going to write you a ticket, whatever the case is. So the publicans, everyone knew they were sinners, greedy. The harlots, everyone knew the harlots were immoral, and they were sinners. But these who started out wrong, like the son who said, I will not go work in the vineyard. I will not. So the publicans and harlots started out wrong, but when they heard John preaching the baptism of repentance, they responded. Hold your place here if you would, but notice back in chapter 3, John was very clear in his preaching. In Matthew 3 and verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths what? Straight. Isn't it interesting, that word straight? You know, we have so much immoral wickedness going along. So, you know, if you're normal, biblical oriented, with morally, not immorally, you know, you're called straight, as versus their other terminology they give to you. It's just a shame, isn't it, just how wicked everything is becoming. It's so vile, so vile. And so John come along and said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Make his paths straight. There's so much crookedness going on in all levels of government. So in verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him and Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of what? Vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for what? Repentance. So the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees here were like that second son who had all the right words, but they were living wicked lives. Notice in chapter 23 and verse 27, Matthew 23:27. speaking to these same hypocrites, like the second son. Oh, yeah, they had the right words, but inside. Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of what?
Dead men's bones.
Dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but what?
Within.
Ye are full of what?
Hypocrisy
and iniquity. So they're like the second son. People thought of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they thought of these people as spiritual because of their words. But they were not spiritual on the inside. Notice in Matthew chapter 11. So those type of people were like that second son, saying the right words, but not living according to it. Matthew 11:18. Matthew 11:18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say what?
He hath the devil.
So that crowd, they were the ones that said John had a devil. John had a devil? He was preaching the gospel. They said he had a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man, what?
Gluttonous.
And a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. So that crowd, like the second son who spoke right, they didn't accept John's message, the baptism of repentance, and they didn't accept Jesus' message. They said John was filled with the devil. They said Jesus was a glutton and a wine bibber. So the ones who seemed religious were actually rejected the truth. And the ones who seemed rebellious actually received the truth. Now, what can we learn from this? How many of you have ever made a mistake in your life? Anyone? Yeah, we all made mistakes. We've all disobeyed God. We've all come short of the glory of God. Have we always done God's perfect will in every matter? No, not a one of us. So I want to help us to apply this message to our hearts today. For those of you who are into education right now in your life, teachers or students, it's like this. Your midterm grade does not have to be your final semester grade. Your midterm grade does not seal your doom. If it's bad, it doesn't. Your midterm grade does not have to reflect your final semester grade. And for those of you who are more into sports than books, the score. Your halftime score does not have to be your final score. Your halftime score does not have to be your final score of the game. So it's like this. Have we ever rebelled against God? Well, everyone in Sunday school knows that I rebelled against God. I just shared a little bit of it with you. Have you ever rebelled against God in your life? Does that have to be on your tombstone? My wife and I were out yesterday, and I was going door to door, and she was accompanying me in the car, and we went by a cemetery, so I pulled in there and looked at the tombstones. We know some people that have been buried there, and so we looked at them, and some of those tombstones are very fancy. Some of them are show the spiritual side of things, but you know, on our tombstone, if you've ever rebelled against God in some way, big or small, on your tombstone, does it have to say, here lies the body of a rebel? No. It doesn't have to say that. That's the point of what we've just been looking at. The first son was a rebel. Son, Go work in my vineyard today. I will not. The next son, go work in my vineyard today. Yes, sir, I go. He didn't. This one, after thinking about it, repented and went. Which one did the will of the Father? It was the rebel. It wasn't the polite one. I mean, he even said, sir. It wasn't him. Because he lied. Either premeditated or he just decided later on, no, I'm not going to go. Even though I said I'll go, I'm not going to. The first one actually did the will of God. So on his tombstone, it could have said, this man did the will of God. But for this one, it would have said, this was a rebel. Or this was a fake. This was a pretender, this guy down here. So our final grade doesn't have to be our midterm grade doesn't have to be our final grade. Our halftime score doesn't have to be our final score. The story will be much different for those who only say that they'll do the will of God but then don't do it. Notice in Matthew 15, Matthew 15 and verse 17. Matthew 15, 7. Talking to the same group again, it says, Lord says, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with what?
Their mouth.
Their mouth. And honoreth me with what?
Their lips.
That's what the second son did. I mean, with his lips, he honored his dad. Yes, sir. I go. But their heart is what? Far from me. Their heart is far from me. Notice in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And verse 19. Acts 3:19. The Bible tells us here, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, we can take heart in this passage of Scripture in the sense there, and back in Matthew 21 and 28. Matthew 21, 28. Let me read through this again. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. So this part of the message is for those who may think in your mind, you know what? I've played the fool in my life at times. I played the fool. What hope is there? What hope is there? I mean, is it even worth trying to do right? Is it going to change anything? Is it going to change anything, or am I just basically doomed? I'm not talking about losing salvation, because you can't lose salvation, but I'm just talking about, like, rewards. Hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I ever imagine God saying those words to me? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So sometimes Christians can get feeling kind of down and thinking, you know, what's the use? What's the advantage of even trying? I've messed up, and that's going to be my end. No, this one who did mess up, the one who rebelled against his dad, was the one Jesus condoned as the one who did the will of the Father, because he repented and went. You know, God is so gracious, isn't he? God is so gracious. So it is. You know, no matter what our past is, we can do the will of God today. And that's the end score right there. Despite our past failures, that isn't what has to be written on the tombstone. The success, the faithfulness can be written there. Notice in Ezekiel 33. And verse 13, Ezekiel 33:13. When I shall say to who? The righteous, that he shall surely live, if he trusts to what? His own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. For his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall what?
Die for it.
Again, when I say unto who? The wicked. Thou shalt surely die. If he what?
Turn
from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely what?
Live,
he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. That is interesting. None of his sins. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Do you see the end score? Verse 16. He was a rebel. He was wicked. But verse 14, he was like that first son who said, I will not, but then repented and went. He is like that. Verse 16, none of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. That's the end score of his life. Notice also in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. Hebrews 10:17. The Bible says, and their sins and iniquities will I what?
Remember no more.
Excuse me. Let's just notice in Luke chapter 15. I think there are so many people in life that just give up. They give up. They make mistakes, and they just give up, thinking, you know what? There's just no way I can ever gain favor with God. You know, that's Satan's lie. That's what Satan wants us to believe. In Luke 15, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that what?
Repenteth.
And he said, a certain man had what?
Two sons.
See, this is like the other thing we just read. It mentions two sons. This man has two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had what?
Spent
all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many what?
Hired servants
of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned what?
Against heaven.
Against heaven. And what?
Before thee.
Before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy what?
Hired servant.
Do you see this as like the other incident that we read there? The first son said, I'm not going to go. But then he repented and went. So he actually did the will of the Father. The second son says, I go, sir, and he would not go. So he did not do the will of the Father. This son here, he's not going to work for his dad. He just wants the money. He wants the inheritance now. But notice now what he's saying in verse 19. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know what he's saying? I'll go work in the vineyard. I'll go work in the vineyard. What is the Lord trying to speak to us? You know, it's easy to think, well, you know, I think God wanted me to do something at a point in my life, but I didn't do it. It's easy to look back and say, did I take the right turn there or not? Did the Lord really want me to do this and not that? It's easy to try to second guess yourself and say, oh, I probably went the wrong way. I probably didn't do God's perfect will for my life. So, you know, now I'm just stuck. I'm just stuck in this old, sinful, rotten, wicked world. And I'll never hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what? That's what the devil wants us to think. That's what he wants us to think. That there's no hope. That there's no way now to gain God's favor. I'm not talking about, once again, I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about doing God's will. I'm talking about eternal rewards. I'm talking about facing Jesus Christ and him not being ashamed of us. This son now is saying, I'll go to work. I'll go in the vineyard. Where does God want each of us in the vineyard? Every one of us have a role to fulfill. God needs each one of us. We all have different realms of people that we come in contact with. We all do. And God wants us to be his laborers, wherever we are in the field. He wants us to be a light for him. And we need that heart, verse 19. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But this was all just in his mind. Have you ever thought about something in your mind and then like, wake up to reality and say, but boy, that'd be hard to do. I mean, this son is thinking, you know what? I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my father. You know what? I would just like to go back to work for my dad. But those are just all thoughts. And then to actually do it, verse 20, and he what? Arose. And he arose. He actually did it. He arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and what? Kissed him. So the son could have, you know, he's thinking these thoughts, you know, this is what I should do. You know, to get in God's will, but that'd be so hard to do. I don't know how my dad would respond. But then he actually does it, and his dad responds with great love. And now once again, he could have been tempted, well, hey, I don't have to do all that apologizing. Obviously, he's forgiven me. No, he goes through with it. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth what?
The best robe.
The best robe for who? The rebel. But is he considered the rebel now? No. Now he's considered in the will of the father. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was what? Dead and is what? Alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry. So now the other son, we're so much like the other story. The one son is the rebel, but he ends up in the will of God. The other one seems to be the obedient one, and he becomes the rebel, the real rebel. And so as we read on, verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was what?
Angry.
And would what?
Not go in.
Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And this boy didn't care. He didn't care about his brother. And he was angry at his dad for throwing a party for his rebel brother. He didn't care about his soul. Midterm grades don't have to reflect the final exam, the final grade of the semester. Halftime score doesn't have to be what the final score is. And whatever point we're at, some of you may be in the first quarter, the first semester in your age, and some of us may be in the end zone, beyond there, but maybe the time clock's running out. I don't know. But Satan wants to discourage us and to make us think that we've made too many mistakes on the test, for those of you in education, or made too many errors for you in the sports realm, to think that there can ever be a good outcome at the end. But that is not the case. God is so gracious. If we are willing to repent and say, Lord, if we are willing to come and say, Father, what wilt thou have me to do? I'll do it. We can be the one then that said, which one did the will of God? This one. Why? Because this one repented and is now doing what God wants. I pray that would be true of each of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for your great grace. And Father, I pray that you would help us in our lives. Father, I pray for those today that may be here and are thinking, wow, I've made so many mistakes, or there was a turn back there yonder, maybe when I was young, maybe when I was middle-aged, whatever, that maybe the Lord wanted me to do this or that. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage that heart today to just come to you, our Heavenly Father, and ask forgiveness for whatever rebellion there's been. And then say, Father, what wilt thou have me to do? I pray you'd encourage each of our hearts, Lord. We are so frail. We are so prone to make mistakes and sometimes make wrong decisions. And then it's easy to get so discouraged. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage those hearts today in these two incidents, that it was the people, the sons in these two stories, that actually displayed rebellion, but then repented. Both of them repented, and these were considered in the will of God. But those who actually seemed to be obeying at first were actually the ones who became the rebels. Lord, I pray that you would reveal any self-righteousness we might be harboring, Lord, thinking that we're okay, when in fact we might be the rebels in our hearts. Lord, I pray if anyone is here today who has never been saved, I pray you'd help them to realize that Jesus Christ is the perfect and pure Son of God. He is God in the flesh, who came through a miraculous virgin birth, who lived a perfect, sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. May no one leave here today without Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would do the work in each of our hearts that only you can do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.